Welcome back to 32 Fans in 32 Days. I'm Alex Chester. With me, not as always, rarely these days, but with me today is Akiva Wieneker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
No, I'm always here. Let's say you're like a guest.
You've
who shows
missed the
up
last couple of episodes. You missed
now.
The Vikings episode, and which was pure gold.
I haven't heard a single positive feedback or negative feedback, to be fair. I haven't heard
Did
any
you see my fiery tweets today? I forgot to share all those golden nuggets on the podcast.
I feel like it's a really dorky thing to say. Have you seen my fiery tweets? I don't know if that's socially acceptable. I didn't get anything back. I trashed the Minnesota Vikings in a tweet, got some traction, nothing from you.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I was telling you. I started telling you this offline. So I deleted a whole bunch of tweets. On Friday, and it's funny because the tweets I literally every single tweet I deleted, and you know, which is not true for most of my tweets, especially from 2013 and 2014, had like a couple of likes minimum, and some of them had like 6 or 7, which makes me think that there's people who've gone back in my archive searching for a specific person's name just to like all my tweets.
No, not happen. It probably didn't. It was probably bots.
No, because it was a couple people we knew, actually, because I noticed at a certain point, I'm like, why do these all have so many likes? And then I checked.
Wow, this is like an incredibly boring story when we should be talking about the most interesting team in the NFL.
Okay, so we're here to talk about the Jets today, your beloved team. Normally, we do a four-way pod with Av Sanetsky and Harold Rosengarten. Harold, our soccer expert, Av, our movie expert. Harold has had some technical difficulties.
Yeah, he was in the chat. We couldn't hear him like 8 different times, so Harold, you're on your own.
Yeah. By the way, I loved one of the previews I read for the Jets. This is how it started. One problem for the Jets last season was their inability to hold on to leads, coupled with their inability to mount comebacks.
Yeah. I mean, that seems more like a symptom than a than a problem. Like, the problem was their lack of good players. Have we introduced our guest yet, though?
No, not at all.
Av Sanetsky.
Oh, hey guys.
Welcome back, Av.
How you doing? Glad to
be here. How many movies have you seen in 2018 so far? You better be prepping for that podcast.
I'm at about 40 as of now.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, I'm on a good pace.
Is it looking like a good year for the cinema?
It's okay.
It's hard to tell. The good stuff hasn't come out yet.
Yeah, right? I mean, there's been a handful of things I really like. A lot of stuff that was pretty mediocre, but we'll see. We'll see.
All right, now
I need an expert's opinion. My wife and I were going to go see a movie tonight. I think we're going to go see a movie tomorrow at this fancy special little like living room type theater. Which one should we see of the following options? Leave No Trace, Puzzle, McQueen, and Custody.
Could you go to one and she go to the other one?
Yeah, I don't know anything about the last three you said, which is not a good sign if I don't know anything about them.
Okay, so I was going to go to Puzzle. Puzzle has really good reviews.
That's like a very scary horror movie, maybe? I'm just making this up.
No.
I'm not sure.
No.
Can you go see Black Klansman?
That's not showing at this theater. I do want to see that.
It's really good.
At this theater. Yeah. All right.
I think it's pronounced like Black Klansman.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah, there's an extra K in there for some reason.
Yeah. All right, listen, guys, I have work to do, so I'm going to drop off this podcast. I'm going to let you idiots talk about the Jets. I'm just here for the games, okay?
All right,
let's do it.
All right, so we're going to play a game. We're going to... You know, I thought Harold would have made this a little more interesting. I think, no offense, Av, I think Akiva's going to win this in a runaway. But, I recently went through and I was tabulating the, I was looking since 1960, which is the year of the Jets, first year of the Jets' existence, and, you know, sort of the year of many teams' existences because it was founded in the AFL, how many starting quarterbacks each team has had. And, like, in other words, a primary starter, like the guy who started at least, you know, half the games, if not more, in a given season. Mm-hmm. So the Jets have had 24 starting quarterbacks in that time. Okay.
The problem is you've played with this with me offline.
No, I haven't.
I
played a different version of this. Okay, so who's I asked you to guess. Who's the one team that has had more starting quarterbacks than the Jets since 1960?
The Browns?
The Cleveland Browns.
No, so the Browns are tied with the Jets this at 24, as are the Cardinals. One team is at 25.
Ooh.
It's a team that's won the Super Bowl. They
Denver
reputation.
Broncos. The Denver Broncos.
No, they have very few. The Chicago Bears.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. So the Bears have 25. Now, the Browns and Cardinals are certainly going to tie the Bears this year because, you know, no matter whether it's Tyrod Taylor or Sam Bradford or the rookies in both cases, that's a new quarterback. And the Jets, if they're smart, they will tie Chicago as well because, you know, they'll be starting Darnold and the Bears hopefully are starting Mitchell Trubisky, so they won't be at 25. So what we're going to play a game. You guys are going to go back and forth. and you're going to give me a name of a Jets starting quarterback, and we'll see which one of you can get more. All right.
All right, let's do it. Yeah.
So, Av, you're the guest. You got
three. It's 3:30 in the morning.
I don't expect to win this game, but we'll see. I'll go with Josh McCown.
By the way, I just realized how much of a moron I am. I don't know how this error happened.
Why did you just realize?
I can't count. The Jets only have 23, which is good. We won't have a tie.
Okay, excellent. I don't think we were going to have a tie anyway. I'll go with Josh McCown.
Josh McCown.
Geno Smith.
Mark Sanchez.
Neil O'Donnell.
Good one, good one. Brett Favre.
Chad Pennington.
Vinny Testaverde.
Browning Nagel.
Can I ask if he said one already, or that part of the game?
Yeah, I guess you can, but I've already lost track of who was said. Right. So.
Yeah, I'm keeping track.
Ken O'Brien.
Al Darrow.
Thanks. All right, thank you for using that one. Joe.
We just discussed
Joe Namath.
Yeah, oh, that's funny. Richard Todd.
That was like the only one I knew left. Let's think. Oh, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Boomer Esiason.
There's a couple from last decade.
So there are some that I know that they were on the team, but you specified that they had to play the majority in a season. So
yeah,
that
they kind had to be like the leading passer by what? Passing yards?
Game started.
Oh, just by game started. Okay.
All right, I'll guess Kellen Clemens.
No. Strike one.
Oh, there's strikes?
Yeah, three strikes.
I didn't know there were strikes. Has Sanchez been said?
Yes.
O'Brien's been said?
Yeah.
Pennington?
Yeah.
Testaverde,
yeah.
Has a Wood been said?
What's his first name?
Oh, I know one.
Such a great
Alec
name.
Al or Dick? Dick Wood, no. I think.
Dick Wood. Dick Wood has been said. Dick so Wood. I'll keep us up one right now.
All
right,
I'll go with Ray Lucas.
Yeah. Ah, Av ties it up again.
Yeah. So Luke, right? Because Myra plays, I think, six games that season.
You only have seven left, by the way. And one is from last decade. One is a head coach in the NFL right now.
Frank Reich.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Av skips Akiva's turn and takes the lead. Akiva,
yeah,
two
that's
in a row
pretty
here.
Good.
I only got that because I just listened to the Colts podcast right before we started this.
I see. There you go. You listen to the podcast. You win our games. All right, I'm going to draw one.
Glenn Foley?
The last decade was also a Vikings quarterback.
Glenn Foley?
No, strike one for Akiva.
Never started a majority of games. Wow.
Yeah, because Vinny took over like week three.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I'm definitely done. I don't know anymore.
All right, Akiva, you can win it then with this one. There's one more you guys should be getting. He's in the last decade. He was.
Yeah, but I truly don't know.
Vikings quarterback. We said that far.
Yeah. I just have no idea who he said.
All right, it's going to end in a tie, which is going to be a win for Av.
I'll take it. I play for a tie.
Hold it. Yeah, the tie would definitely be a win for Av. I agree.
All right. You guys, the most obvious one I think you missed was Brooks Bolinger.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Oh, okay. That's the least obvious. It's 2005.
Then you missed Al Woodall, Bob Davis, Johnny Green, Matt Robinson, and Pat Ryan.
I've never heard of any of those guys.
Yeah, no, they're all late 80s, early 70s. Like post-Namath, pre-O'Brien. Okay.
All right, so all right. Tie game. Good job by both of you.
And you're leaving on that really high note. Right?
Well, you gotta leave on a high note, right?
I have to say, I'm used to hearing you guys on 2.7 speed, so it's like really weird.
Well, so it's 3:35 a.m. where I am. You want me to speak quickly?
No, it's fine. You're not gonna get up to 2.7, so whatever it is, it's gonna sound slow.
No.
I don't know. I think we can talk pretty quickly if we really try to, then it might be very difficult for you to listen to when you do listen to it.
Right, that's gonna be messed up.
No, that's annoying.
All right, see you, Chester.
All right, Chester, keep it real. We're gonna let the grown-ups talk about the Jets here.
All right.
Bye. All right, we got rid of Chester. We got the real Jets fans in the house. Not that Harold's not a real Jets fan. He just is MIA.
He's not a fan of having a working computer.
Yeah. We have breaking news. So if people have been following the podcast, we've been big fans of Sean Fahey. That's C-I-A-N Fahey on Twitter because he... has some crazy quarterback takes, like Mitchell Trubisky's the ninth best QB in the league already. But I think he just went nuclear. So we have to break into the Jets podcast with this take. He says, I don't think Bridgewater actually has much value, but I wonder if the Jets even explore. Are you ready?
No.
Do you know where this is going? The idea of trading Darnold. How much could you get for him?
Okay. I mean, listen, you know, everyone should be available for the right offer, but, you know, if someone's like, okay, we'll give you our next three number ones, we'll do that. Maybe even two. I don't know, whatever it is, you know, you listen to any offer, but, you know, you don't, I wouldn't say they should explore the possibility. Like, it shouldn't be something that they're looking to do. Yeah, I mean, we've been waiting as long as I remember to have a rookie quarterback that we're excited about and trade him before.
Yeah, so I think we should trade him in training.
You know, that sounds like something that might happen.
I didn't like the pass he was throwing with with offensive linemen who won't be able to be signed.
Right,
to the
I like
CFL
how he frames it as, well, the guy that they're going to keep in this situation has no value, according to him. So that's the guy we're going to keep, and we're going to trade the other guy. Now it is a little strange that Bridgewater has no value, because he's looked pretty good. Last time he played, he was pretty good. I get that he's been off for 2 years, has been hurt, and it was a really bad injury. But you would think that there would have been more of a market for him than there was, you know.
Before now, I understand that because everyone's coming with their system. He's not in camp. He's not in the preseason with these teams, and he's a free agent at the end of the year. And I think if they traded him, his cap hit might be decent sized. I'm not sure. So I get why now. It makes no sense why Bradford got $20 million,
like $500,000.
He got,
right?
But I you know, I guess the knee concern. A lot of people probably thought he was never going to play again. Again, listen, he hasn't taken a single hit.
Yeah, listen,
right?
You know,
he hasn't taken a single hit.
There's
so
an element
who
of wisdom in the crowds
up
here. You know, 31 teams thought the guy was worth less than $500,000 on a 1 year contract. So. To think that now he's all of a sudden going to be worth something because he played in a couple of preseason games and didn't die is, you know, a bit extreme. But at the same time, the only thing that was wrong with him was that he was injured. And if he's now no longer injured, then he's worth something. I'm not saying, you know, they're going to get a second round pick for him, but I wouldn't take much less than that because I think it's worth keeping him around for a variety of different reasons, just because, you know, we don't know what Darnold's going to be. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's going to be great. Maybe he's going to be mediocre. Maybe he's going to be horrible. And, you know, I think one of the things that is good and makes me hopeful about that the team has finally figured out what they're doing to an extent is that they made a decision to invest heavily in the quarterback position, which is the first they haven't done that in a long time. And they didn't just say, we're going to get Darnold. They went and they got another guy who they thought, you know, on the right set of circumstances, he could be valuable. And now you have both of them. And, you know, they need to figure out a way to get something out of those two quarterbacks, whether it's Darnold, whether Darnold is a bust, and then you still have Bridgewater around. Like, I don't think that you just get rid of Bridgewater for a fifth-round pick just because, okay, now we have an extra pick in our arsenal. You know, that's not really going to do anything.
Yeah. I agree. I don't know that there's an obvious answer. To me, I think you just have to keep Bridgewater on the roster, and maybe something happens.
Hello.
Oh,
wow.
Are you here?
I am here.
Oh, this is very exciting.
All right, so let's keep going.
I'm back.
All right, Harold just joined us. He missed the first.
Harold,
the
name
really
every
thrilling
Jets starting
questions
quarterback ever. Go.
Ever. Oh, well, they did that on the Simmons podcast the other day, so maybe I could do some of them, but I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, let's get into it. All right, so we were talking about Bridgewater. What do you think about this take? Sean Fahey, our friend, who's a verified guy on Twitter, who I don't know what he does, but he's got a lot of followers, says the Jets should look into trading Sam Darnold.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life, I think.
Yeah, they should take away his check mark, to be honest, for that take. They should look into it. He didn't say they should trade him. He also says Mitch Trubisky is the ninth best QB in the league, so I'm not sure we trust his opinion.
Yeah, I'm not sure why people love Mitch Trubisky. Where did that come from? But all of a sudden, people are all excited about him. But I've never seen anything good out of him.
I mean, listen, John Fox is gone, so he can't get much worse, under the new regime. So my take that I was about to drop when you came on, Harold, is that they should roster Bridgewater. They shouldn't trade him unless they get a really good offer, which they're clearly not going to get. Because I think teams are daring them to keep him on the roster, to be honest. I think people are thinking, well, why would they pay for him? And so they are probably going to they're probably going to cut him, because why would they pay for a third string quarterback who could, you know, with incentives or whatever, make a lot of money. I think they should call people's bluff. Worst comes worse, you have him on the roster.
The problem with that logic is that the only scenario where he hits any incentives is where you actually ended up needing him. So that kind of proves the point of, for $5 million, what's it that if he gets on the roster? Like, you take a chance on a guy like that. You never know what's going to happen. You never know when you're going to need someone. Darnold can get hurt. Darnold could suck. You know, there's Bridgewater. Darnold might not be ready. You let Bridgewater play for a couple games. And, you know, it gives you options. Cutting him, you have no options.
I very much agree. I mean, all I hear is how much under the cap the Jets are for next year. They're, what, $90 million under the cap or something like that? So what is $5 million? Who cares? Who cares about this $5 million? I don't care. I don't care about Woody Johnson or Christopher Johnson's money. I don't care. Just, he's a good insurance policy. In the first 5-6 weeks, someone could get injured. Who the heck knows? Call team's bluff. See if someone needs him. I'm not going to trade him for a 7th-round pick for no apparent reason. I think they should may as well roster him. How does that hurt them in any way? I don't get it. I think they should at least roster him. If they get a, today there was some sort of report that the Seahawks wanted Jacoby Brissett for a 2nd rounder. I think it may have been refuted or whatever it was.
Yeah,
but
there's no way it's true, but yeah.
Right, there's no way that's true, but if they got a 2nd rounder, fine, trade him. But until they get something like that, just roster him. What's the worst that will happen?
Yeah. I wanted to go back before we started going. Maybe we'll bounce around position by position quickly. I wanted to go back and talk about, because we've been talking a lot about head coach confidence and front office confidence. My head coach confidence is about 0.1 out of 10. I don't know where you guys are.
He reminds me a lot of Herm Edwards. He might be like good in the locker room, I guess. Not even. No, it's not that.
He's a former DB.
But his game management leaves what to be desired. He might be a good like locker room coach. I don't know, but
yeah, the players like him. The players did seem to lobby for him last year when he easily could have been fired. Listen, it's not great going to year two of a regime with a whole new quarterback and a whole new coach and probably new offensive and defensive coordinators. But if we were ever good, I mean, Bowles would like single-handedly make sure that we were not that good. Like, he would turn a 10-6 team into an 8-8 team just by. I mean, some of the decisions he made last year were so insane that if the Jets were a little better and people actually cared, it would have been like the New York Post would have like burned down the whole city. You're basically giving up a game at halftime by kneeling on the ball with a minute and a half left in the first half down 10. Just insane things that nobody in the history of the NFL has ever done before. But I wanted to talk more about Maccagnan because it looks like, if you guys are following who the beat writers think the team is going to cut, it looks like Maccagnan's been incredibly reticent to cut any draft picks until like the 3rd year that they're in the league. Probably less so than any other GM. And I think that the other shoe's going to drop now because there's a lot of guys he drafted, in particular probably the receiver duo of Ardarius Stewart and Chad Henson, also Lorenzo Maldon, also Sharon Peak, another receiver. There's like 7 or 8 guys who he drafted who are basically on the chopping block, starting with one guy who's already gone in Hackenberg, who's his biggest whiff. Would you say that you guys have faith in Maccagnan? Do you think that, like, because he's had some major whiffs, the 5th rounder for Rashad Robinson, who looks like he has no chance of making the team, got into 8 different types of legal trouble, and people were yelling about that trade, similar to the Hackenberg move. The second it happened, it said it has a 0% upside. Do you guys think that, Maccagnan knows what he's doing, that he doesn't know what he's doing? Because I'm not sure what I think, but he makes some questionable moves.
I mean, I think my personal opinion is, actually for the first time in a long time, I think the team's actually in the right direction. I see sort of what his vision is. I see where he knows he needs to spend next offseason already. He thinks he has his quarterback. Listen, if Darnold is his quarterback and he's good, Maccagnan will look very good. It'll be fine. I think it really all depends on him. Yeah, he's had a bunch of whiffs, and you know, you mentioned a bunch of those names before. But, you know, I do think he did a good job. You know, everyone was screaming last year about all these guys he cut. Oh, how, they're going to be so terrible. It is what it is. And none of those guys did anything. It's, you know, they cut a lot of fat that they should have cut. And everyone was complaining. And they, I think he did a good job last offseason. They're in great shape with the cap. his drafting might leave what to be desired. I don't disagree with that, but I think he's been doing a good job, you know, getting the Jets out of the cap hell they were in when he came in. So that's something in his favor. The draft, yeah, I agree with you. Maybe it's a little questionable.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. I mean, he's middle of the road. Guys, he's not particularly impressive. It does seem like people are very excited about this draft class. There's, you know, I think four or five guys that people are just talking about how that they're playing great in practice, playing well in the preseason games, and you know, this could be one of those foundational draft classes if it hits, but we'll see.
Yeah, give me a prediction for how many games Sam Darnold starts, and like just give me his sort of like touchdown, interception, completion percentage guesses. Start with Harold.
I think he's going to start the season. I think he's going to start 16 games. I mean, barring an injury, obviously, but I think he's going to start the first game. And I think he'll, you know, his touchdown to interceptions will leave what to be desired. I think he'll be something like a 1-to-1 rate. I think it's going to be about a 1-to-1 ratio, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I think that's how it's going to be.
Not great. What do you think of?
I was going to say similar. I think he'll play 16 games. If it was up to me, and it's not, surprisingly, but if it was up to me, I would wait a little bit to start him. I wouldn't rush it. He came into camp a little bit late, and you know, going to our earlier point,
it's much harder to bench him than it is.
Oh, you can't bench him. You know, you know, you start him, then he's the starter, and you have to see what happens. I would say, you know, like there's just like no rush. Like, just give him a few weeks. Let him see what like a game week is like in the NFL. There's no reason to like that he needs to start day one. If he starts 13 games, like that's not going to make a difference in the long run. And that also gives you the opportunity to throw Bridgewater out there a few games and just see if you have something there. You know, they're not winning anything this season. You know, in the absolute best case scenario, you know, maybe they could get to 8 or 9 wins if everything goes perfectly. But yeah,
if they get to 8 or 9 wins, it's purely on him, or I guess Bridgewater, if for some reason he played, like that would be with incredible quarterback play.
Yeah, so just like there's no reason to push the envelope. Let him sit on the bench for a couple weeks. Let him go through his routine. Let him see what a game is like. And when you feel like he's really 100% ready to play, let him go in. That's, you know, there's no reason why he needs to be week one just because like everyone's excited to get this going.
I very, very, very much agree, but I don't think that's gonna. You know, I don't think that's gonna happen. But I agree with you.
So yeah, so I think he will play 16 games. I would guess, you know, somewhere something like low 20s touchdowns, high teens interceptions would be my prediction.
Now this is a loaded question because there's several units that the Jets could make a pretty strong case for being 32nd out of 32. Which unit in particular, I guess we'll start with Av, worries you the most on this team?
Well, I would say I think their worst unit is probably their running backs, but it doesn't really worry me.
Oh, that's funny. To me, that's not in the bottom five.
Oh, really? Okay.
No, I mean, it's bad. It's really bad. But I was going to say, Harold, did you have a different answer?
I mean, what worries me, to be honest with you, I don't know if it's the bottom five because there's some bad offensive lines out there, but the offensive line worries me.
Yeah, just because it's more important than...
Especially with Darnold, you know, you don't want him to turn into David Carr, you know, running for his life for 16 games and never learns really how to play. So I'm worried about that. I understand why it is where it is. I think offensive line is actually a good place to go shopping in the offseason. It's those type of free agents I find usually work out better than some other positions. So, you know, they could spend a lot of money on the offensive line next year and all of a sudden have a great offensive line. So I'm not concerned in the long term.
Now, they are already spending a lot of money. It's just not good money. Like, all these guys are highly paid. Carpenter has a lot of money. Long, who they just signed as a big contract. Beecham is making a lot of money, so they are spending a lot of money. It's just not, you know, well spent.
I think they're going to spend more this offseason. I think they'll. Yeah. I'm not sure who they're going to get rid of. I mean, maybe Carpenter and Beecham. They need someone to replace Beecham. I don't think Beecham will be there next year. I know we're going far ahead now.
I mean, all five guys might need to be replaced. Like, there's no one who's anywhere close to a roster spot in 2019 on this line.
I mean, if they have to replace Spencer Long, that's a big problem because they just signed him in this offseason. So
well, they signed him to a deal that I think they get out of after 1 year if he's not healthy because he's had major health problems. Okay.
I think their guards are okay. I mean, they're not amazing, but
The Pro Football Focus hated both of them, like detested both of them last year, and they're not getting younger. Listen, Wes Johnson was the worst center in the league. They signed Travis Swanson, who was the second worst center in the league, but he's the backup. If Spencer Long's healthy, then he is a slightly below average center, and that should be okay. The guards aren't good. Brandon Schell is underwhelming, but okay. Beecham, if he stays healthy, is a totally fine left tackle, but that's been his sort of issue his whole career. To me, the outside linebacker position is the weakest position on the team. I am fairly certain, I said this on another podcast that will come out either before or after this, a team with a strong linebacker core, none of their outside linebackers would have a chance of making that team. So like the Eagles, the Cowboys, they don't have a single guy who could make those teams. Without question. Maybe Jordan Jenkins could be like the fifth or sixth guy. Like Frankie Louvu is a UDFA who's probably going to make a team. Brandon Copeland, UDFA. Like these guys are garbage. Neville Hewitt, inside linebacker. Like really they have one linebacker on the whole team. Avery Williamson, that's an NFL player in my opinion. And they play a 3-4, which means they need like six. And,
you don't like Darren Lee? You don't love Darren Lee?
Darren Lee's looking worse and worse.
I saw him play one play in the preseason game. He got a penalty on special teams.
He doesn't know how to play football. He's a good athlete. He's our second best linebacker without question.
What about Martin? Isn't he pretty good?
Josh Martin. He's far from like if I had to guess right now, I'm not sure he makes the team.
Oh, really?
He's a little bit more of a special teams guy too.
No, I thought he was.
These guys are all bad. Like Jordan Jenkins has shown a tiny bit of promise. Malden can rush the passer, but again. Far from being the team.
Yeah, their linebackers are
this
very bad.
Linebacker core is a nightmare, and the problem with needing to rebuild the O-line and linebackers next year is that's like half of your starters, because it's one thing to like, we need a running back. Well, that's one player. We need an O-line that's like five guys, potentially. And linebacker, when you play a 3-4, that's like at least four guys. So, luckily they have almost $100 million, because they're going to need to spend every penny next year just to get league average guys, not even like to bring in superstars.
And I think that it should have a nice pick next year as well. So, you know,
that's true.
And throughout the draft. So that should.
Yeah, well, not in the second round, but true.
Not in the second round, obviously. But the second round for them has sucked anyway, so who cares?
What do you guys, other than the quarterback position, which I think I would say is the strongest on the team right now, what do you think is the strongest unit on the team, Harold?
I think the cornerbacks. I mean, the secondary, really, in general.
Yeah.
They have two. If Morris Claiborne plays like he did last year, Tremaine Johnson, they obviously spent a ton of money on, but he should be good if he does what he did last year. And then Adams and May, of course, those are their safety building blocks. So that should be a pretty strong secondary, you would think. That's really the strength of their team. We didn't even mention Buster Screen.
Yeah.
Screen
is Jekyll
slump.
And Hyde, right? Like, there are weeks where he looks like he shouldn't be in the NFL, and then there's weeks where, like, the stats guys are like, oh yeah, he was the best player on the field.
Well, and then maybe Parry Nickerson, you know, their draft pick they've just
like
brought
Nickerson.
In. People like him.
Nickerson.
So I think their secondary has a chance to be really good. But you know, remains to be seen. But you know, they have young players, you know, with Adams and May, and they both looked good last year. Although May, I don't think Pro Football Focus loved as much as
maybe really
Jets
fan
did.
But he was a rookie. Listen, they loved Adams, and everyone, like, if he's healthy, he's gonna be better. And I would say Jones and Clark, two more draft picks who are definitely on the bubble. And Justin Burris, another fourth-round pick, I think, who's seriously on the bubble of making the team. I actually think this is the hardest. Like, if you were just, like, a UDFA trying to, like, randomly get on the Jets, like, this is probably the hard, other than quarterback, this is the hardest spot to make, because they do have, like, seven or eight NFL-caliber guys here. And that's not even mentioning Rashad Robinson, who is, you know, worth a fifth-round pick, who is suspended, but I don't think
he's going to make the team.
No, I mean, listen, I think you could, like, put him on the team and then wait a couple weeks because he's suspended. But, yeah, there's no reason to put him on the team. Yeah, the safeties are good. D-line is not as great as it once was, right? But they have the two rookies to go with their star player. Leonard Williams, he's the best player on the team right now. Do you agree or no?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's
I mean, you could say
obvious,
Adams.
Yeah.
I'd say Williams and Adams. Like, if you're buying a jersey today, you're probably buying Adams. Just, like, if your goal is, like, who's going to be here for the most of many
no,
years.
No, you buy a Darnold jersey, obviously.
I buy the jersey that will bother Harold the most.
What's that?
Any of them. Any good
what
player.
I have an illustrious streak of buying jerseys of players then that immediately become bad or get traded or something.
What are some of the highlights there?
Brett Favre, Leon Washington.
Leon had a nice career.
You bought Revis like the year before he got traded.
Yeah, I also bought. I got
Revis
another
I had,
Revis.
Revis I had for a while, and Revis I'm fine with because I could still wear. Vilma.
I don't think you could wear Revis. I've spent a lot of time thinking
Vilma,
about this.
Vilma, John Abraham, all these guys got traded like right after I bought it. That's a good sample, but you got the point.
That's why I stick with my Curtis Martin jersey. It's always going to be okay.
Yeah, Martin, you could always wear. Krebet, you could always wear. There will be a time where Revis will be a cool throwback. He'll be like in the Hall of Fame as a Jet, but I think right now it's a little weird.
I think
weird.
It's fine.
He was on a different team last year.
Nah, they just had that whole little ceremony for him. I think it's fine. Yeah,
that was embarrassing for all parts.
I agree, but it's fine.
Okay, we didn't talk about the receivers. Let's talk about the receivers. I actually kind of like the receiving core. I know a lot of people would rank this near the bottom of the league. Right, Onunwa was really good in 2016. We don't know if he's going to get back there, but he was a NFL caliber starter. You're getting basically for free, and he can block. Curse played really well last year. Robbie Anderson, there's still a good chance he's going to be suspended. It's weird that like it still hasn't happened, but Robbie Anderson is like an actual good player in the NFL, and Terrell Pryor, like as a fourth receiver, that's not terrible, right?
They don't have any like obvious number one receivers, but I think they have a bunch of, you know, two to threes.
Two to threes. Yeah.
That Robbie Anderson, he had flashes last year. He was really, really good. And Onunwa 2 years ago also looked really good for large parts of the season. And Pryor 2 years ago looked really good. So, you know, in this best case scenario, which I've mentioned where they could win nine games, like all these guys turn out to be great. Is it likely? No, it's not likely. But is it possible? I could see it. I don't think it's nearly as bad as, you know, people are making it out to be. You know, Bill Barnwell had, you know, the Jets' weapons listed as a 32nd, and basically he said by far a 32nd, and I think he's underselling the receiving core a little bit at least. I'm not saying they're, like, the best, you know, weapons in the league, but, you know, they're not the worst, I don't think.
If you I don't want to go game by game because this team's not good enough to warrant that.
Agreed.
But what do you think the record will be at the end of the year? And if you want to go, like, which games you think they're going to win, you could say that.
Without looking at the schedule, I would say 6-10. Mm-hmm. It feels like a 6-10 team to me, maybe 7-9.
Yeah.
All right, we could rip through it. So they open in Detroit, I think because of Taylor Swift, they have to play on that Monday night game. No one's going to be happy with that. I guess you get a rookie quarterback. There's some interest. They're not going to win that game. Hosting Miami. We just end the season if they lose that game, if they're 0-1, right?
I think they should beat Miami at home. Miami's not that good.
They go to Cleveland a few days later.
So they have three games in 10 days, which is not amazing.
Yeah.
To start the season.
Darnold's a young guy. People are like, how's he going to do three games in 10 days? Well, he's like a young guy who likes to freelance a little bit anyway. He'll be fine.
I mean, they could win. Could they win two out of those first three? Yeah, I guess they could. And then, who knows?
They lose in Jacksonville. They play Denver at home. Let's say they win that. I mean, it's a little soft early because then they host Indy. What if they're 4-2? They lose to the Vikings. Let's say they split Chicago and Miami, if we're being like really generous, and they're 5-4. They beat the Bills. They go into the bye 6-4. See, we're getting very optimistic. They lose to the Patriots. They split in Tennessee and Buffalo. And then they're 7-6, and then they lose to the Texans, Packers. And
there you go, 7-9. That's what I was going to say,
impossible.
Actually.
Yeah, 7-9.
I think that's their ceiling, though. I think we just went through like best case
scenario. They could get to 8 or 9 if everything really lines up. But yeah, I mean, I think 7 is a realistic ceiling, and you know, it could be 3 or 4 if things go the wrong way. I don't think this is going to be like a 1 or 2 win team. I think they have enough talent that, particularly on defense, that they're going to stay in games. They stayed in games a lot last year,
and we're not relying on one player really, because even if God forbid Darnold gets hurt, like we have
as long as we don't cut them before the season starts.
We don't have enough good We don't have enough good players to worry about someone get like the offensive line in theory could completely collapse and like our backups like we already lost our backup tackle. So
that's the nightmare that's the one scenario. Place right?
The nightmare scenario is like we're starting. Do you remember the Jets Chargers game where we started? What was the Mangold look like? And like we just couldn't even we could not even snap the ball because the backup center was so bad.
Yeah, I forget what his guy's name is, but yeah, that's the
nightmare
scenario.
Basically, like that's the nightmare scenario where you're playing guys who shouldn't be near the NFL at linemen, which we're basically there. We're almost there at this point. Any more injuries, we'll be there. And it's annoying. We're good at the positions that like there's 12 guys. Like George Iloka gets cut. Eric Reed's on the waiver wire. Like if you need a safety, it was so easy to get a safety. Brashad Breeland is like a good corner still out there. Like the positions that we need are the positions where there's no good offensive lineman just waiting to get signed and like
no,
holding
and,
out.
And, the, and there won't be, so.
No, like Hankins, the guy from the Giants last year, like if you needed a D tackle, he's there. But like those are literally the positions we don't need are the guys available and the ones we do need. Like there aren't good receivers or old linemen obviously walking around. Yeah, I think this is the year, like, 2019's got to be the year. I think this is the year before, like, the special thing happens. But, like, do we root for 5-11, Bowles getting fired, maybe Maccagnan keeping his job and getting to hire another coach, but, like, especially if Darnold shows flashes. I just can't. What if we go 6-10 and they keep Bowles? Like, this is
so really I think that Bowles is not in the long-term plans. This has been my theory for 6 months now or so, that the reason they gave him an extension and didn't go outside the organization is that they expect Bates to be the head coach of the team one day. And Bowles will be around for another year, maybe two, and then whenever they think Jeremy Bates is ready to take over, he's going to be the next head coach of the Jets. That's been my theory now for a while. We'll see if I end up being right. But I just don't think they were going to go and bring in someone new when they think that they have their guy.
Yeah, I don't know. Does it make you nervous that Jeremy Bates was, like, hiking the Oregon Trail for 5 years?
I don't know that much about him. I just know that every time you hear...
Isn't it bad, like, if you were such a good mind, like, it's the Mike Lombardi thing. Like, if he knew anything, he'd be in a front office somewhere and not, like, doing a crappy podcast for Bill Simmons. Like, if Bates was so great, like, Nick Saban would have had him in, you know, in camper. Like, he just wasn't doing anything. And he claims it's because of him, but, like, was he turning down million-dollar-a-year offensive coordinator jobs at high-level college or the pros? I doubt it.
I don't know, but listen, if he develops Darnold, then, you know, it will look good. And what am I basing this on? I'm basing this on the preseason. And his playbook in preseason should be pretty vanilla. So there's no way to really tell how he's going to be.
No, I'm not unimpressed with anything he's done so far, obviously. It's just like, you know, the ability to hire assistants is a big part of being a coach. And Bowles has done a really poor job of that. And it's also hard when everyone's on a 1 or 2 year deal because you don't want to get an OC job and then have the coach lose, which generally means that you get fired too. You want to go in with a new coach or a Belichick type established coach. So it's very hard for him to track talent. And for whatever reason, he's been very poor. And listen, the guy we had last year's offensive coordinator, I don't think he's in football, Morton, who did a good job for a few weeks in the Philadelphia. So, like, that's a sign, right? Similar to what you were saying before, like, the guys the Jets jettison, no pun intended, aren't in the league. Like, that's a really good sign that, you know, you sold high on them, right?
Oh, yeah, so. That's for sure. Yeah, no, I mean, they're actually assistant coaches have been pretty poor for, I think, basically the whole Bowles tenure.
The whole Bowles tenure, a lot of guys got overhired, meaning, like, they were assistant whatevers who became position coaches or position coaches who became coordinators, like, It's been an issue the whole time. The staff, which we mentioned beforehand, we mentioned, like, basically, like, when he started, was a disaster. It's been a disaster. All right, it's time to wrap it up. This is a late night podcast for us. We could go on for 10 hours about the Jets, but we're not going to because they're going to be bad. So 7-9, that's their ceiling. Basement is third pick in the draft again.
They didn't really get the third pick.
Anything else, guys? Year,
but yeah, same. We get it. I'm excited about the season. You know, I don't think they're going to be very good.
I've never been this excited to watch preseason, that's for sure. Like, it's exciting to see
for
Dawn.
For sure.
That's cool.
Thursday
week one
night
will be
was,
very
right.
cool. The possibilities
Thursday night
are endless.
Must see for me.
Must see TV. The possibilities for week one against Detroit are endless. Darnold could come out and throw for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns, and we'll be dancing in the street, and he'll be the new, you know, Brownie Nagel, I don't know, Peyton Manning. But it's exciting to have a new quarterback. You never felt this way with Sanchez, right? Even though we thought he would be good, we never thought, like, his ceiling was never
I mean,
I think that's a bit of revisionist history because I do remember that his first season, those first few games, people, you know, not before the season, but those first few games in his first season, people were like, wait a second, we might have something here. And then, obviously, I think he had that Bills game where he threw, like, 5 interceptions. Yeah. And they lost.
He also was going behind, like, one of the best offensive lines of the century.
100%. Yeah, but listen, I don't think he was ever what Darnold was. I mean, Darnold's a guy that, you know, the scouts and, you know, the draft people have been talking about for 2 years was, like, the next guy. He was like, obviously,
Like, Sanchez went 4, but he could have gone,
he fell in our laps. You know, maybe Baker Mayfield will be better. Who knows? But, you know, thanks to the Cleveland Browns, thanks to Bob Gettleman and his imaginary typewriter, we got the guy who everyone said for 2 years was the next stud quarterback. So, I'm excited to see it. And hopefully, you know, if he just is a good NFL quarterback for, like, 8 years, I would sign for that right now because we've never had that.
You know what sucks, though? It's like, What if he was Matthew Stafford?
I feel like we'd be thrilled with that. Moon.
Like, the Lions never make the playoffs with Matthew Stafford.
I'd be thrilled with
guys.
That.
Like, you know what I mean? It like we just got a quarterback when everyone had a quarterback. It would be like you're 15, you're like, oh, I would murder a hobo to like have a girlfriend. And then you're 25 and you have a girlfriend. It's like, oh yeah, everyone has a girlfriend. Like, it was only cool then. Now it's like everyone has one. Great analogy, Akiva. But you know what I mean? Like, there's 25 teams that are like set at quarterback. So like, Darnold needs to be special for it to matter. Like, there's Andrew Luck, there's Matthew Stafford, anyone outside that top five or six, like, their teams can frequently miss the playoffs.
So, yeah, but I think they have. But like I said, I think this is the first time in a while that I see a plan coming together. Whether Maccagnan can execute it correctly, that remains to be seen. But, you know, he has a ton of cap space. He has what he believes and what a lot of the Jets fans and what I hope is the franchise cornerstone. And it's just a matter of developing Darnold and now making the right decisions in free agency next year. And next thing you know, they can be a contender. You know, Brady's not going to be around forever. The division, you know, could be ripe for the taking in a year or two. Who knows? I mean, you know, I see how this could happen and how the Jets could be successful for the next couple of years. Will it happen? I've been a Jets fan for a long time, so I probably not. But I see how it could all come together and maybe, you know, have one of these nice runs that so many other teams have.
All right, guys, thank you so much for your time. Hopefully, Jets will be in the Super Bowl this year, and we'll record a podcast live from outside the stadium before we walk in. But if not, then I'll speak to you guys about the Jets next August. The Jets will have Khalil Mack rushing the passer. They'll have, you know, five new highly priced offensive linemen because they could afford him.
By the way, if they can trade for Khalil Mack, they definitely should. That's obvious, well, right? That goes without
trade
saying.
What would you trade? Obviously, you wouldn't trade a first-round pick because that could be a really good pick.
I don't know a first-round pick, but
yeah, so
I don't
then,
think it, I don't think don't it takes a first-round pick.
So a second in 2020, that's basically what you'd have to give them, I think.
Yeah, I do it. Yeah.
If Khalil Mack's really good. If he signed the contract, I'm fine with that. I'm not doing one-year Khalil Mack for any pick.
I mean, no, like certainly not. Certainly not for this year. But
no, like, why would that be us? Yeah, we're not one player away.
Right, but I think this is, you know, they send
I think the logic there, normally I'd say you're wrong, the logic there is like, there's only like six of those guys in the league, and they're so hard to find, and you just, if you don't sign Mack, like, you just won't find one. Like, you could draft eight of them, and it's very possible like zero out of eight will turn out. So I definitely hear the logic there.
Correct, and it's not for this year, it's for the future. It's, you sign him to that contract, you say whatever you want, Khalil, go ahead, we'll give it to you.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of money, so who cares? And you can't get those guys in the open market.
Harold, you're a terrible negotiator.
Yeah, absolutely. But for a guy like Khalil Mack, I'm not going to be a good negotiator. It is what it is.
All righty, guys, thanks so much. Have a great night, everybody.
Thank you. Change my mind when I fell for